did a little emailing this last week, and I emailed an individual something, and I made reference to us being prepared like a bride for a husband. She wrote back, and she commented on that and the rest of the email, but she made mention, she said, that's a beautiful picture. And indeed it is. If you've ever seen a fiancé looking at wedding dresses and going through and preparing, it's a wonderful, joyous time. It's also, you know, a bit of a nervous time, but it's joyful nonetheless. And a lot of dresses out there. In fact, I saw an ad recently where, you know, it talked about this beautiful size 10 dress and the train that followed it, and it was only slightly used 2 hours. So we see these type of things. But I'd like to talk to you today about marriage relationships. And whether you're single or married, we should all be able to relate to the spiritual application of marriage relationships, because we are preparing as a bride for the coming Messiah, a husband who is going to bring up his bride to him as he comes to the earth. And we are blessed to have the information that we have. If we can just maintain and grow and in grace and knowledge of our Master Yahshua in his ways, which are the Heavenly Father's ways, and if we can grow and abound in these type of things, patience and love and these attributes of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, I think we'll be doing well. But we have to pay attention to what Yahweh's Word says. Now, marriage relationships are sometimes difficult, and we struggle because of communication, because of different things. We may be bringing in baggage into a marriage. They say the first 2 years are the hardest. And my wife and I, when we were married, we were being counseled by a minister who said, basically, even after we had gone through all this counseling, and we even did this compatibility analysis, this is a computerized testing that we went through, and we actually got a chart back basically saying that we were very compatible, but we had some issues to talk about. We talked about some different things. And that helped, I think, prepare us for those initial two difficult years. But what the minister said, which was interesting, is that he said, I'll see you in about 6 months for counseling, in other words. And sure enough, he saw us in 6 months. I couldn't believe it. But, you know, we got through those difficult times, and I'm a very blessed individual for having the wife that I do, and I know that it takes work. We've been working on it for the last 14 years. But it's well worth it, and it's worth the relationship that we're building with the Messiah, and that day of that wedding is going to be wonderful, and it is a marriage-type relationship that we are working on. And it does take work. There are different terms in marriage relationship type skills that have been brought up before. Things like love bank, his needs, her needs, language of love, these type of things. Speaking of love bank, everything you do either makes deposits or withdrawals. Have we ever thought about that? The things that you do, the suggestions that you maybe say, the things that you say. How about, honey, that dress makes you look fat. Okay, men, was that a deposit or a withdrawal? I think we can come to a decent conclusion on that one. That's a withdrawal. How about, honey, did you know that you're my best friend and the love of my life? Deposit or withdrawal? A deposit. It takes work, and we have to watch what we do, what we say. And it's just like the relationship that we have with the Messiah. We have to be careful about what we think, what we say, what we do. These type of things for the relationship to prosper. You know, catching the door for one another physically, sending a card or flowers with a card, going out on a date, stuff you did when you were dating. Deposits that will continue to help make the marriage a joyful one. And I'm happy to say, after about 14 years of trial and error, we've got a pretty happy marriage, and it can work, but it takes time. And I've learned a number of things. I've learned that that women like details. When I tell, when I say that I love you, you sometimes say, "Well, what do you mean? I mean, what do you love about me?" She wants to hear more. I mean, not in an egotistical way, but she desires the communication. And speaking of his needs, her needs. I mean, I have needs. She has needs. You have needs. The Messiah has desires and needs of us. He wants us to do certain things. He wants us to be in line with his Father's will. Man thinks logically. He thinks. He's a thinker. Women are emotional. They still think, but they feel too. They many times the feelings are attached to words, to thoughts. Men want respect, and they want to be esteemed. In most cases, men like companionship and physical activities at times. And at other times, they want to go into their figurative cave and hibernate for a while. And this is something that women have to understand about men. It's good to know the needs of a man. It's good to know the needs of a woman, because that helps in the relationship, knowing what is really needed to make it work. Women want stability. They want security. They want to know that things are going to be okay, that they're being provided for. Women like companionship too, but in a conversational way. And, snuggling doesn't hurt anything either. You know, it's needs that we have, these type of things. What happens when a man wants to go into a cave while the woman wants to talk? It's called conflict. And there is a bit in marriage to one degree or another, especially the first couple of years. There's the language of love. And we can communicate using analogies that one can relate to, which you can help get a point across at an emotional level. There's actually a book called The Language of Love. There's also a book called His Needs, Her Needs. They're both recommended and are good reading. And anything that we can do to help the marriage is good. And, of course, we have this book, this manual, which helps in our relationships, not only among our spouse, but in other relationships, work relationships, brethren relationships, these type of relationships. But most importantly, our relationship with the Heavenly Father, our relationship with the Master. Let me give you an example of the language of love. The wife, we'll call her Betty. If there's any coincidence, that's all it is. It's just a coincidence. But Betty loves her husband, Tom. Tom comes home every day after work. They have dinner. The wife is home with the kids, and, there's a lot of kid talk. Well, the wife would like some adult communication, and that's a need, and Betty has this need. And so when Tom comes home and he eats dinner, and there's some surface communication there, but he goes and sits down, watches TV, and then falls asleep, and that's pretty much the activities that go on in the evening after he gets home. Now, each day it's the same thing. They have dinner and some service communication, nothing real deep. He sits down, watches TV, and then he falls asleep. She's left feeling frustrated and even somewhat resentful. What does she do? She's tried to get him to talk more about this, about his day, but he just works, eats, and sleeps, it seems, anymore. Well, Tom does teach Little League on Sunday afternoons. And she remembers him talking about this boy that was on the team, and his game kind of started to suffer, and he didn't know why, and he actually tried to talk to the boy, and the communication just wasn't there, and it frustrated Tom because he wanted to know what was wrong. The boy, he used to be able to catch pop flies or wherever the term is, and used to be able to hit really well when he would go out up for bat. But he couldn't really communicate as what was going on. But Tom knew something was going on. In fact, the parents would show up, and he'd bring it up with the parents, and the parents would just kind of brush it off, as the boy did. Well, Betty knew this, and so she decided to use that as an analogy. And she talked to him and brought that up in conversation, and it hit him that basically she described what was going on for her was like his frustration with that boy, trying to communicate, but there was no real communication. And she wanted to be a part of Tom's, you know, life. Maybe it seems kind of silly to want to know day's activities of which you're not really involved with, but it's a real need for some. And some of these needs, his needs, her needs, they can go back and forth. I actually like to shop. Carrie doesn't like to shop. That's just the way it is. But Tom got the message. And instead of always going to the television after dinner, Tom now regularly puts the kids in front of the TV with one of their videos, and he takes Betty to a quiet part of the living room where, you know, they could sit down and talk about various things that went on in their day. They reconnected, and Tom even experienced a greater joy in the marriage because he took the steps to love and provide something that his wife needed, deeper communication. If you would, turn to Ephesians 5. We are going to get into some scripture today. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 24, or actually 25. Ephesians 5, verse 25, starting there. Husbands, love your wives, just as Messiah also loved the assembly and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the assembly in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle in any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands also ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Very profound. Going on, verse 29, but no one ever hated his flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Messiah also does the assembly, because we are members of his body. It's been said that love is a decision. It's a decision to respect and serve the one you've made a vow to. And I do think those of us who have been baptized in Yahshua's name can relate to this in a spiritual way. We may not always feel close to Yahweh, but it doesn't mean that we stop paying attention to what he tells us in his word to do. No, in fact, we must respect and serve him through his son, our master, and savior. Now, if you would, go to 1 Peter 3 and verse 1. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external, braided, the hair, wearing gold, and so on. It goes on. Let's go over to back to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22 through 24. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the master, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Messiah also is the head of the assembly. He himself being the savior of the body, but as the assembly is subject to the Messiah, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. And so we have this instruction. We have it more than once. We have a couple different witnesses. In fact, when we go over to 1 Corinthians 11, we find that even the Apostle Paul brings out the headship, that that we have the Messiah over us, but over him even is Yahweh. And so we have that admonition, that teaching. But relationships are difficult without good communication, and there's been a number of studies that have shown communication is really at the top of the list as far as having a good relationship. I had a chuckle over a video I was watching recently concerning about tips on how to have a good marriage. And the first tip that they showed, and it was a bit of a chuckle, it was a comedy type routine, but the first tip was make sure you try to finish your wife's sentences for her. And so, I mean, there's things that we don't want to do, actually, and that's one of them. We don't want to do that. We do want to try to mirror back and relate to not only our spouses, but to one another in regular relationships. If someone is maybe saying something and you don't necessarily quite understand what they're saying, go ahead and say what you think you're hearing, and it gives them the opportunity to correct or to affirm that yes or no, you know, this is actually what is being said. So there are different ways of communicating. And I think it's important that we understand that our brains work a little differently. Men's brains work differently than women's. Women tend to be more right-brained, more creative, more feeling-oriented. Men tend to be more left-brained, more thinking, more logical, planning, these type of things. Men like to go, in fact, I've heard this said, men like to go, they'll go and get something, whereas a woman will just, they'll kind of take their time and look around and eventually maybe pick up what they were going out for. So differences, and even, I mean, we've talked here about differences between men and women, and it's important to know, especially if you're thinking about being married. If you're single and are considering this, I mean, you're good to date for an extended period of time to get to know and get to understand and get used to one another. They say those that end up taking time, having an extended period of dating, actually, when they do get married, they have a stronger base to go from. And that's a point that's been brought out before. Now, one of the more profound chapters concerning, say, wives, for example, is found in Proverbs 31. We can go ahead and turn there. Proverbs 31. And it does say in verse 10, starting there in Proverbs 31, an excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now, I chose to read this because I think it's a pretty powerful section in this chapter. It's a long, fairly long chapter, and it covers a couple different things, but mostly concerning an excellent wife. But we're to do good for the kingdom and for our king, Yahshua, all the days of our life, just like this says. There's another section here, Proverbs 31, starting in verse 15 through 20. Notice this, she rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. Can we see anything spiritual, or can we give an allusion to something concerning a spiritual matter like this? She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strengths and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hands to the poor. She stretches out her hands to the needy. Some things I want to point out here, which kind of stood out as I was reading through this. Notice it says her lamp does not go out at night. She had plenty of oil, not like other foolish ones. Maybe we could relate that to the foolish virgins that ran out of oil. Another part here, from her earnings, or from her increase, she plants a vineyard. Spiritually, I think we could say, you know, her allusion to a spiritual sense would be, you know, her tithes and offerings provide the seeds of Yahweh's word to be planted for the harvest. There's another section in here. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. You know, we do this in this dying and sick world with the message of the coming kingdom and the Messiah. We're extending our hands to the poor and to the needy. Notice it also says that she rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. Could this be a possible allusion to the coming tribulation, where we will still be around and we will still be able to reach out and help and give food, give insight, give understanding to those that are in need? Men and women have the respectful roles in marriage relationships, to love and to serve one another, to see the physical and spiritual application of marriage relationships as a key to living a long and joyful life. I heard a comedian say one time, happy wife, happy life. And that's very true. And, you know, we each have our roles. Some of the roles blend. I mean, I make the bed, I do the dishes occasionally. But typically these are things that my wife does. We both work, we both do what we can, but we're working together for a purpose. And of course it talks about not being unequally yoked, and when we come into the faith, if we're single when we come into the faith, we want to make sure if we get married that we get married in the faith. And you find reference to this in like 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and another area there. But you know, we have responsibility, and our first and foremost priority, the thing that needs to be at the top of the list, is serving Yahweh and serving Him through the Master, our future husband. And we are to prepare ourselves as a future bride. If you would, turn to Revelation 19. Revelation 19 and starting there in verse 7. Revelation 19, starting in verse 7. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. So there indeed is things to do as marriages are made or broken by the actions, by the words that are said within those relationships. We have to understand that the same applies to our Heavenly Father. What we say, what we do, what we think, our actions play a role in how good the relationship is going to be. Yes, we have been called out. Yes, we have been, in a sense, chosen. But will we truly be ready for the wedding when that day comes? I pray that we are. May Yahweh bless you.